Welcome to the Western New York Entrepreneur Podcast, helping Western New York entrepreneurs take the next step in their business. If you love Western New York and entrepreneurship, this is the podcast for you. Whether you have been in business for 20 years or 20 minutes, there is something for everyone. David Schaub interviews the top entrepreneurs in Western New York so you can take your next step in your own business.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Western New York Entrepreneur. Today we're actually recording in the Seneca One Tower. Don't worry, we're socially distanced, 6 feet apart, which actually reminds me, I actually had one of our events at the Seneca One Tower back. It was before the shutdown in November, I believe it was. So it's a beautiful space. So if you haven't checked out the new Seneca One Tower downtown, make sure you do. They have a lot of cool things like the Soprano Bar downtown in the lobby. And they have like, I don't know, it's like, Colleen, is it like a gondola or a sailboat?
Oh, yeah, gondola, right from Venice.
Yeah. Which is really cool. I'm still wondering how they got it in the building. But anyways, we have an awesome guest today. We have Colleen Heidinger, the president of 43 North, our beloved 43 North here in Buffalo. So thanks for being on the show today, Colleen. I really appreciate your time. I know you're very, very busy.
No, I'm always willing to make time. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So Colleen, for those that don't know your story, or don't know that much about 43 North, maybe they know kind of like me, just like a quick synopsis, everything. If you don't mind, can you kind of tell us about your entrepreneurial journey? Like what got you here today? You can go as far back as you want or as close as you want, I guess. So if you don't mind, you can take it from there for our audience that doesn't know much about you.
That could be like, you know, the whole show, but yeah. I'll try to summarize it. So I was born and raised in Western New York. I was here through high school and went out to college, and this part is particularly related to where I am now. But I went to Babson College out in Boston, which is a very small business school, not known by many people, but is the number one school in the world for entrepreneurship. So I studied there and then went to New York for 7 years. It was in LA for a final two, turned 30, and kind of had this realization after spending most of my career in the film and entertainment industry that I just had enough. Right. And having 30 approach me, which is a little bit of a wake up call, as to like, what am I doing? This is making no impact on the world. I don't love what I do. I've never been starstruck. You know, I'm working very, very long days with really no benefit to me or the world. So I resigned from DreamWorks Animation and came home, drove my Mini Cooper across the country.
Did you have anything lined up? Or were you kind of like me? Sometimes you're like, you know, I don't know what's coming up next, but I'm just going to quit.
Yeah, no, I was done. And I came home, I was unemployed, moved in with my parents, no health insurance. But my brother, who's very active in this city, had kept me kind of abreast of everything that was developing. And I kind of thought, well, and I still say this to this day, there's no better place to fail than in Western New York. So I'm going to go give it a shot. Either I'm going to start my own company, or, you know, I'm going to spend some time looking for a job that I really care about, because that's what was missing when I was out West.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So take it from there. So how did you get to where you are for it? Because that's a, you know, people go, well, then how did you get to become the president of 43 North? How did that happen? So,
yeah. So it's probably something we'll touch on later, but a mentor of mine from high school is active in the kind of recruitment and placement of roles in Western New York. And she had placed our executive director at the time. And then he was looking for someone else to bring onto the team. And my skill set was perfect, right? I produced the show at Shays for the past 6 years, and bringing my event planning skills from my previous life has, you know, allowed me to do that. And then my degree in entrepreneurship from Babson, obviously I, you know, can relate to what we're doing as an organization. And then obviously we're making a huge impact on Buffalo. So for me, it kind of checked all the boxes. So I came in as, I don't even remember my title, but yeah, my role evolved quite a bit over the years. Heavily focused on, of course, finals. So that was about, you know, 4 to 6 months of work that culminated at Shays. And then I led our quality of life program. So at 43 North, we're very aware of the impact that we need to make on the lives outside of the office of our founders. So we take very good care of them outside of the office, including their wives, girlfriends. So I mean, finding apartments, finding schools, daycares, hospitals, doctors, whatever it might be. So I always led their kind of non-work related quality of life once they moved to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And then I took on, with Bill Maggio, we started Ignite Buffalo, and we gave away $1 million to small businesses in Western New York. And then we ran a year of programming and mentorship around that. And then I actually was kind of ready to go. I just thought I've done a lot here. It's been wonderful. This thing is working now. You know, let me
go do something else.
Yeah. And then I got a call a year ago this month. It was a year ago Monday when I committed, and my former boss, Alex, had resigned and they were interested in me taking on the role. So it certainly wasn't ever anything I ever expected or intended to do.
Perfect timing though.
Yeah. But it's been a wonderful year.
Well, it seems like you're kind of like me where you're like a builder, like not a sustainer. I could be wrong. For me, I like building things. I don't want to do the same things for 10, 20, 30 years. And, you know, it's amazing when people can do that. Like my grandma's like, he worked at GM for like 30 years. Like, that's awesome. Like, that's like commitment, right? For me, I'm like, well, I don't want to do the same thing for 30 years. I like growing, building. And then when I feel like I've learned everything I can, when I've really distributed everything I can or evolved as much as I can, I'm ready to do something different. Are you kind of the same way or am I completely off here?
Yeah, I'm someone that doesn't like to do the same thing every day. Every day needs to be different. And as soon as it starts to become a little bit repetitive is when I start to look elsewhere. It's also, you know, I like to be challenged. I like to grow. I like to be educated and learning new things. And so once I feel like I plateau in that sense, it's been, a little internal alarm bell goes off that's says, let's find your next best thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. So for those that don't know much about 43 North, what should they know about 43 North? Like why would they care to know about 43 North? Obviously they should, but why?
Yeah, I mean, so we run an accelerator program for a year and we invest $5 million annually. So we've done that for 6 years. Why the larger community should know about us is because of the job creation that has come as a result of our investment money. Mm-hmm. So we're hiring and have been all kinds of roles, right? It's not, you don't have to have a degree in tech or software engineer, right? There's tons of jobs that we have available from, you know, being a co-founder with someone down to a customer service representative or an executive assistant or anything in between. So we have, and we will continue to open Western New York's minds to the opportunities to not necessarily found a company, but to join one and help build one here in Western New York.
That's so cool that you say it because Pat Whalen, I'm not sure if you know, yeah, you know Pat, yeah, very well. He's like, yeah, really the backbone of our economy or really of Buffalo or Western New York is going to be companies or corporations that come or are built in Buffalo that create jobs. That's really that's what draws people to places, right? So I think it's really cool that you guys are on the same wavelength there. So since obviously we didn't do a competition in 2020, right, for 43 North, how did it go without the competition?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the right decision, difficult to swallow at the time, but that was back in the spring. And, you know, it would have not been smart for anyone to run a competition. Mm-hmm. All things considered, travel is a large part of our competition. And getting the community together is a very big part of our competition. So, you know, that none of that would have been acceptable in November or October, right? Mm-hmm. So we did. We decided as a board to turn off this year. And we pivoted completely to support our portfolio. So the kind of bench that is our team at 43 North, right? Our head of marketing, business development, investor relations, recruiting, all the talent that we have, our team pivoted and then went deep into our companies. So if someone needed a new logo, they relied on our graphic designer. If they needed to hire someone, they relied on our recruiter. If they needed new introductions around Western New York, they went to our business development team, marketing, PR, right? So we just really went deep and took it. In my mind, I was calling us like mini consultants for our portfolio to really create impactful work for them as we, you know, weren't running the competition.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I know you don't have anything laid in concrete yet, but in fact, I don't know if I should ask this, but like anything kind of on the horizon for 2021 that you want to share with anybody or maybe something like maybe you want to almost give like a, what's it called? A tease, I guess you'll say.
Yeah, I mean, things are looking great for this year on behalf of our funding partners, as well as the way that we see the world kind of working come Q2 and Q3. Mm-hmm. So we fully expect to be back and we'll announce that when we feel fully certain that we'll be going ahead.
Cool. Cue the trailer to end, right, for the movie. That being said, obviously, when you just became president a year ago and you committed, this wasn't what you signed up for, clearly, in terms of you didn't know that COVID was going to hit, right? So right off the bat, your cause to really do something that 43 North has never done before, which is go through a pandemic. How did that go for you? What is something that maybe you learned that you think other entrepreneurs could learn from as well in their business and what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, so I was in New York speaking at an event on the 28th or 29th of February. I think it was a leap year last year. So I was there and life was normal. This was 2 weeks before we shut down. It was crazy. So yeah, this is not what I thought I was signing up for by any means, but it's been amazing in a way. Like every time I feel like, you know, there was a sense of uncertainty or we were failing, it's like another portfolio company would be emailing or we'd have another story in the news about one of our portfolio companies doing something really great, right? So it was those kind of nuggets of information that started to blossom across the portfolio. I'm talking even back to year two, year one companies were calling and needing help or had good things happening, right? People were high operator hired 200 people during this year.
Right? Wow.
I mean, it's so that those were kind of the reasons why it all worked for me, right? There was always something opportunistic popping up. I would also my team, like they were with me through and through, right? Every phone call, every situation we had to handle, you know, we were all hands on deck 24/7 to support the organization, but more importantly, the portfolio companies.
So, yes. And one of my questions that I wanted to ask was like, is there something that you think entrepreneurs or business owners, obviously there's a billion different businesses, so it's really hard to be general or generic. But do you think there's something that you hear from business owners? You're like, oh, you're thinking about that the wrong way. Or, oh, you're missing the boat here. Or, man, if I could have a microphone to all the business owners, I feel like they really need to know blank. Is there anything that I kind of said there that kind of sticks out to you knowing what you know now?
Yeah, I think because of our work in Q4 with the county project, you have to pivot. To survive, you have to pivot and be okay with that. And understand that you might pivot into something and have to pivot again, right? It's not, you're not going to necessarily get it right the first time, but the mentality that you have to change to be with the times, right? Back in the day, people didn't have websites. People didn't have Instagram. Imagine running a business now without Instagram. I mean, our generation couldn't imagine it, right? So adapting to the times and, you know, ensuring that you're communicating and approaching your customers the way they want to be approached, right? Billboards, newspaper, print ads, like that. You know, things have changed so much. So constantly pivoting. And I think that's why what's somewhat of a differentiator in terms of getting through this pandemic for both startups and small businesses, Main Street businesses, is that those that adapted and realized they had to change their business model or their team or the way they market are the ones that are surviving.
And that's important. So for our listeners out there that obviously just heard that, what in ways do you need to pivot and might need to pivot again? Because so many times like, well, let's try this. Well, that not working the way we want to. And we got to change this. Or maybe we got to completely do a 180 again because they're finding out this might be a better way to pivot. What is that for you in your business? So what sparked in what Colleen just said or the questions we just asked that you feel like you need to pivot? Because I don't know about you, but even before the pandemic, we always need to pivot. In different ways, right? Because I know sometimes, at least as I get older, I'm sitting here going, I don't like change as much. I don't like it as before. I would love it because it's so unique and different. But as you get older, maybe it's just me. I don't know. I'm just like, I don't want to, why are we changing it that way? But then you realize, oh, that's so much better. Why is Ari so resistant to that? We do have some questions from people that on our LinkedIn I posted. And I said, hey, does anybody want to ask Colleen a question? Because this is really not just my thing. It's not just, you know, my show. I really want to make sure that the community really gets their questions asked. We can help them grow. So Thomas Diaz, he's a University of UB student over there. I met him on Zoom actually. So once, but anyways, he had a really good question. He goes, how has the startup scene changed in Western New York since the coronavirus came about? I know we touched on it, but maybe something else that you think kind of sticks to mind answering that question. How has the startup scene changed in Western New York since COVID came about?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's like logistical things like the coffee club or startup grind or all the networking events, of course, have disappeared. But like you just said, you met them on Zoom, right? And so for those, again, that are willing to pivot and make changes to how they get to know people, Zoom has been a great option. I think from another angle is, I mean, investment money has still been trickling into this community quite heavily over the course of this year. Dan Miner's article makes it very clear we're still tracking in the right direction. Certainly we need more and we need to diversify the number of companies that it's going to. But I think it's been very good in a sense and a good sign for what's to come. And then in terms of, you know, hiring, there's plenty of jobs in the startup ecosystem, not only from our portfolio, but across Western New York. So I think with those things, it certainly this year has been different, but it's not to say that our ecosystem is going to disappear or be modified. Like it's still somewhere that this community should be embracing in terms of applying for jobs here, mentoring startups, investing in a startup. You know, there's still tons of ways for the community to get involved in the ecosystem and should.
No, that's so good. There's three things that came to mind. Number one, I love Dan Miner. He's had us wrote about our Western Entrepreneur podcast a couple of times. The other thing was, I think it's so important. So I know it's a lot of people that had to like shut down their business completely because of COVID. And they're like, well, I have to get a job. So I think it's really cool about like, you should check out the jobs at 43 North. And that's not a plug-in that Colleen asked me to do. It's more of like, when you're around innovators, around people that are growing and looking to grow this region, this city, really just trying to reach new heights, you're naturally going to want to do that for yourself and even in your business. So when your business opens up or when you're looking to start or pivot again and what you're excited to do, it's just, you are who you surround yourself with. So I think it's really important, even if things aren't looking the way you want to, you have to get a job, be around people that actually are empathetic, that again, are innovating. And I think when you come to Seneca One Tower, it's pretty hard not to get excited. It's almost like a symbol of Buffalo. Like, okay, this was an older building. It was built for a different purpose, but now it's not back in its glories. It's actually being reinvented to something bigger and better than it was actually purposed for in the beginning. So I think it's a huge symbol of that. So just being around things like that, I think is huge. And the third thing I was going to say, I've actually networked more, Colleen, during COVID than I did before, because people were more available, not in person, but in Zoom, right? When people, well, I can't do as much because we're so limited. I've networked with way more business owners via Zoom or even doing virtual networking meetings than I ever did. In fact, I wrote it in Step Up Buffalo Business where I can't do the whole article, but if you want to check out Step Up Buffalo and I put like networking during COVID, they asked me to write an article about it. And actually my networking, in fact, our listening and network actually tripled during COVID. Yeah. So it was pretty cool. There's a lot of opportunity. But anyways, I want to talk to you more about these questions. So Adam, I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name, Madam Molnar, where can you get your start in an industry that takes a lot of capital to make a dent into that industry? Again, I'll say, maybe I said a little quick, where can you get your start in an industry that takes a lot of capital to make a dent into that specific industry?
Okay, so I think I know what he's asking. I would go back to like interning and finding a way to get yourself in. If you have an idea and there's a startup in that industry, why not go work there or intern there or volunteer there or mentor there, right? I this community more than anywhere wants to see everyone succeed, right? So if you rise, right, we'll all probably rise to a degree. So I think finding a way to ask, just like you just said, like people want to help each other here. If you reach out and ask for a meeting, most people in Western New York, I feel like, make the time. It might not be for 2 or 3 weeks, but they'll have a conversation.
Yeah. Also, and if you don't have the capital, obviously, if you prove yourself as a valuable person over time, that you know what you're talking about, that you've done with the little that you have, kind of like if you've done a lot with a little, or with a little, if I said that correctly, then like maybe someone would be more interested in investing, right?
Yeah. Investors want to see traction. They want to see that you're dedicated to this, you know, whatever, you know, the mission of your company is, but and doing that, you know, all day and all night and alone and with no money is certainly a way to go about it. But I would find yourself, experience is what's key, particularly for students. So finding yourself, you know, in a place like Seneca One, interning here, riding the elevator with other entrepreneurs, like those are the collisions that we talk about that organically come to life when you put people, innovators in the same building.
It's so important because so many people have ideas, but how many actually act on it, right? Or how do we know how you're going to act when you have your first obstacle or something that doesn't go your way? And it's really important. People want to know that and they want to see the test of time before they really start investing, even as you as a person, right? All right, Nadine, to what extent is social versus economic impact considered when evaluating startups?
So I'll give the 43 North answer. I mean, I think the generic answer is it depends on what returns the investor wants or what the investor might care about specifically, the fund. But for us, of course we do, because we are not a true venture fund and that we are here to better Western New York. So when we review companies, our investment committee and all the many layers of judging that we do across a normal year in a competition, we are looking for the right companies that will fit in Buffalo for specific reasons. And we increasingly have asked about that in the application, as well as in the live pitches. You hear it on stage at Shays, right? Where we want companies that are not going to be here for a year. We want companies that organically fit into this community, both from a personal standpoint, but also with their company, right? Do we have customers for them? Do we have mentors for them? Do we have an opportunity for their business to grow? Do we have the right talent that they need to hire in Western New York? So we find and we do our diligence upfront to ensure that that's what's going to happen. And every year we've had increasingly higher retention, meaning the past 2 years, every company that we've invested in has stayed in Western New York beyond the required year. Mm-hmm. So something on the front end, in my opinion, is working because we're finding better fits for Buffalo in regards to the kind of social and good that will impact this community specifically.
That's good. That's a good answer. So Nadine Shanta, I hope I, again, pronouncing it. I'm not good with pronunciation. So thanks for answering that question. That's a good answer. Last one here is from Craig Turner. Given Colleen's role and being surrounded by innovation, what kind of changes should small businesses be embracing sooner rather than later? And what more traditional businesses practices are likely going away of the dodo? I'm not sure if I read that correctly. I mean, maybe a thing.
Well, there. I mean, I'll just go back to my previous, I think I understand it. You know, even small businesses, we have to be online, right? Dry cleaners now have to be online. Coffee shops have to be online, right? That's an opportunity from a revenue perspective, a voice perspective that we have to embrace. And I would argue even social media for most is really something. Our generation, millennials, they don't go to Google. They go to Instagram. They go to Facebook and look up the company they're interviewing with. What does your company's online presence look like? And we're always preaching that to our companies, as simple as it might be, they have to have a presence to attract, you know, that level of talent. So that is certainly something, and it's hard. Like you think of your parents, like trying to get a wet, my dad would, you know, he's got his flip phone, right? Yeah. He doesn't have Instagram, but it's critical no matter how old you are and what your business is to have a very strong online presence. You know, nowadays it's particularly now with COVID, I think it's less people walking in neighborhoods, right? We still have some hesitancy to be out and about as much as we kind of used to. So I think that just becomes even more critical.
And I think it's, yeah. And just to piggyback off what you said, because it's a great answer, is just capitalizing on what's important to the community right now. How are we going to, what are the people that I'm looking to attract in terms of customers? What are they thinking? What are they, what, you know, what's, you know, what draws their heartstrings, I guess you would say, right? So
yeah, what do they need, right? And when's the last time you asked your customer? Like oftentimes I'm a small business owner myself and it's like, I just assume, but then I go and ask and then I have even better ideas or better opportunities or, you know, specific input, knowing I'm going to make this many sales as a result of me just asking. And people like to be heard, right? You're very committed customers, no matter if you're a startup or a coffee shop, right? They like to have, if they've been supporting you, why don't you want to hear from them?
That's right? So good.
Also
so,
makes them feel a part of the business, right? It's an intimacy thing. So I have found that even sending text messages and saying, well, what do you think about a class at noon on a Sunday? Or would you ever go on a retreat for, I think that is a great way to not be making decisions in the dark, making informed decisions that will impact the strength and success of your business.
Yeah, I think that is gold right there. I think that, like, again, people want to be heard. They want to feel, they want to feel valued. And how do you do this? You actually listen to them. So again, that's something that you spark something. In fact, I wrote it down for our business. So for me, like, in fact, I'm going to say this right over. I'm going to email all of our subscribers. We're like, hey guys, what do you want to hear from us? What do you want to see more of? What do you want less of? What do you, you know, what kind of events are you looking for? What do you actually want from us? And we want to take that in complete consideration for our team here. So, but in terms of your business, how can you possibly hear from your customers more? Like for dry cleaners, when people pick up, is there something they can fill out? What do you want more from us? What do you want less from us? How can we make it easier, convenient for you? What is something that you wish we could do that other, you know, that us or other dry cleaners aren't doing? And then obviously if you're a construction, what are you looking for that's different from other people? What are you, a lot of times they just want their calls answered, right? Because, you know, they're constantly not being called back. That's something I hear about. But I think there's so many ways, that is so such a great way to get ideas that actually matter to your clients and customers that actually care to fill that out. I think it's so good. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have here today. Unfortunately, when we recorded the podcast earlier this week, Colleen's mic got cut off. So we missed the last 5 or 6 minutes of the episode, which is unfortunate, but you know, that's what happens sometimes, especially when we're in the middle of a pandemic and, you know, things are just a little wonky or different at this point. But anyways, I do want to share, guys, our Colleen's email, because I know she wanted to get that out in case you guys had any questions. Maybe we asked a question that you wanted answered and it got cut off. So Colleen's email is Colleen, so it's Colleen at 43north.org. Again, Colleen at 43north.org. And again, if you love our podcast, you're just like listening to it, make sure you guys subscribe. Make sure you guys are rating it or sharing it. If you think someone that needs to listen to a specific episode, make sure you tag them on here. Again, we're thankful for you. We're thankful for our listeners. We're thankful for you guys being a part of this. We are better together. This is not as good as it gets. And we're so excited that when things open up, we can start doing in-person networking events again. Again, our whole goal is to help entrepreneurs take the next step in their own business right here in Western New York. So guys, until next time, have a great week. Talk to you next episode.
If you loved listening to the Western New York Entrepreneurs Podcast and want more, subscribe to it and head on over to WNYEntrepreneur.com for articles, what's coming up next, and to get involved. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.